Good afternoon. It's nice to be here, and I've been informed I get a little extra time, which is kind of cool.
1 minute.
All right. So I'll be talking about the degree of whiteness among world cotton cultivars. Cotton fiber whiteness can be influenced by a variety of environmental factors, including weathering and insect damage, which also leads to bacterial or fungal damage, contact with the soil or leaves themselves, sunlight, and oils or grease from harvesting with the picker or stripper or in the gin or some of the other machines that are used. It is desirable for cotton producers to have whiter cottons because the textile manufacturers will use less bleach and chemicals in the fiber processing themselves. This is actually good for two main reasons. The textile manufacturers get to spend less money on the chemicals, which I'm sure they're definitely happy to do, but it also is a greener production because they use less harmful chemicals and bleach during the processing, which could also be a marketing technique for them to market their products. The USDA has 25 traditional cotton color classifications, and they are based off of human classers who have been trained to look and grade the color. And you can see here that they're overlaid onto a plot with two variables, which is RD, which is the reflectance of the sample, how light or how dark the color is, and the yellowness, which is plus B, increased yellowness or decreased yellowness. The Hunter and Nickerson reflectance colorimeter was first developed in 1950, and it was used to look at the color, cotton color. It improved the consistency of grading standards because prior to, only human classers would grade the color, and it was difficult to maintain the consistency between classers and between years. In the 1970s, the reflectance colorimeter was incorporated into the high-volume instrument testing, which an HVI is a fairly repeatable and fairly inexpensive measure of different fiber properties, such as length, uniformity, strength, maturity, and of course, color. However, it wasn't until the 1990s that the USDA started using RD and plus B measurements to grade and class the cotton. There are some issues associated with RD and plus B that have been reported in the past. Only people who are typically work with cotton on a regular basis are very familiar with the RD and plus B values. Outside of the cotton industry, not many people know what RD and plus B as a color system. So it's difficult to interact with people who aren't familiar with the system. The National Institute of Standards and Technologies does not recognize the RD and plus B standards, and this has been a problem for people in the cotton industry. All HVI cotton colorimeters are standardized to the master colorimeter in the cotton program's standardization and engineering branch based in Memphis, Tennessee. And if I remember correctly, the master colorimeter is recalibrated every 4 years using new samples. However, there is really no way for us to know if the cotton standards are not drifting. It is very possible that they might be since they change. So it has been proposed that we use the LAB scale instead of using the RD plus B color scale. And the International Commission on Illumination recognizes the LAB scale. It's used in a variety of industries, and it's a recognized international color system. There are three values instead of just the two. L, which is very similar to the RD value, is reflectance, and it ranges from 0 to 100. So a 0 value gives you a black, and a 100 is ideal. It would be really, really white. And an A is how red or how green a sample is. So a positive value for A gives you a redder sample, and a negative value for A gives you a greener sample. And B is very similar to the plus B that I talked about previously. So a positive value for B gives you a yellow value, and a negative value for B gives you a bluer sample. The objectives of this experiment were to determine the degree of whiteness in the phenotypes of 36 world cultivars collected from three continents and their F1 progenies. and to evaluate the parents and the F1s in a North Carolina 2 factorial design to determine combining ability for the degree of whiteness. TAM B18233 ELS and TAMCOT CAM DE were used as male parents in this experiment. Now, I may have the extra minute, but I'm not actually going to go through and read all of these genotypes for you. The non-recurrent parents are listed according to their geographic region. We have China, West Africa, South Africa, and the United States represented, and each of these are unique germplasm pools. All of these cultivars were added to the USDA cotton collection between 1953 and 2001. So these all served as the females for the plant for the experiment, and the two recurrent parents, the males, were B182 and CAMDE. All the parents and F1s were grown in College Station, Texas, during the summers of 2010 and 2011 in a randomized complete block design with three replications. And if you take a look at the bottom left-hand corner screen to the bowl that's just cracking, that is when we harvested. We hand-harvested five bowl samples to minimize exposure to light and other environmental influences. First position bowls were taken between the 5th and 10th fruiting branches, and they were deburred by hand in limited light. The seed cotton was allowed to air dry in limited light for 72 hours, and the five bowl samples were combined and ginned on an 8-saw tabletop laboratory gin, and then they were separated into 2-gram subsamples. All the colorimeter measurements for this experiment were taken on a Konica Minolta CR310 reflectance colorimeter. So this is actually only the first year's worth of data. I unfortunately haven't had time to finish sample preparation for 2011, so just keep that in mind. We found significance in the parents and F1s for L and for A. But unfortunately, we only found significance for the F1s in the B, which to me was surprising. I was expecting there to be significance for the parents as well, which I'm hoping maybe with the second year's worth of data, we can see some differences. So again, just as a refresher, because some of these values are a little different, L is the reflectance, so the closer the value is to 100, the wider the sample and the better it is for the cotton manufacturers, or the textile manufacturers. So A7215, which is from South Africa, had the best parent mean, which was 85.7 reflectance, and its general combining ability, which GCA is basically the average performance of the progeny of that parent compared to the progeny of the performance of the progeny of all parents used in the study. And it had the best GCA of 0.6928, which means that on average, A7215 added 0.6928 to the reflectance of its F1s. And Tejas, which was a U.S. cultivar, was second in the GCA. And you can see I did truncate these tables for sake of time, and I didn't think you'd want to see all 38 listed in a couple slides. The lowest parent mean for this year's worth of data was Duck Shelter, which had a mean of 84, and it actually had a negative GCA of negative 0.6748. So it decreased the reflectance, and that is not particularly good. Okay, for the redness or greenness, for A, actually the value being closer to zero is preferred because that means the sample is white. It's neither red nor green. And I'm again, similar style table, I truncated the values for sake of time. And all of the parent means were below zero, so all of my samples were greener, which was definitely interesting. And I'm going to butcher this name. I do not speak Chinese. But Kang Ben Cheng Mian had one of the best parent means of negative 0.58 and had the best general combining ability of 0.14. And the top three, general combiners were all from China, which is interesting. And the lowest parent mean was A-637-33, which is from South Africa. It had a parent mean of negative 0.96 and a general combining ability of negative 0.18. And now for yellowness or blueness, the B value, again, similar to the A, the closer the value is to zero, the wider the sample. It's neither red nor it's neither yellow nor blue, and that's preferred. Now, there were no significance between the parent means, but I listed some anyway. And all of the samples were above zero, so they were all yellow, which is to be expected. So we're looking at a negative combining ability to lower that value closer to zero. And surprisingly, A-637-33, which had the worst general combining ability for A, had the best general combining ability for B. So on average, it decreased the yellowness of the sample by 0.77. And REBA W296 had a parent mean of 9.02, which is probably one of the best. But it had a very bad general combining ability. It increased the yellowness by 1.84 on average. So significant differences do exist between genotypes for L and A, but at this time, I can't say that there are significant differences between the genotypes for B. But the general combining abilities demonstrate that there is the potential to genetically improve these cultivars for L, A, and B. I will preface that by saying I would not use these data to go out and start a breeding program for cotton color based on LAB. More research should be done first. I would definitely recommend estimating the heritability of the cotton whiteness before you do something like that, and also definitely check out the economic viability of using the LAB system to grade for cotton whiteness. Because if it's not economically viable or feasible or even preferable, then maybe the time and resources would be better spent elsewhere. So, at this time, I'd like to entertain any questions that you may have. Not with the human eye, no. Because my samples were the question was whether or not you could use your, do you mean by the your eye without a colorimeter to tell the differences between the reflectants, because they were very similar. 84 was the low and 85.7 was the high. And I'd have to say that no, you'd need a colorimeter to tell the differences. My cottons were didn't have a high trash content because of the method of harvest and because of the storage. They're stored in sealed containers in a dark seed room right now.
Any other questions?
Cool, I might get away.
I just have a very naive question. Why just five-fold samples?
The five-fold samples, it's rather difficult to go through and hand harvest. The question is why just five bowl samples, and it's difficult to hand harvest all of those samples because what we did is we took the bowl and actually stuck it in a paper bag that was sealed and to keep it from being exposed to the light, and then we had all of those, and so we could only harvest maybe 200 or 300 a day, and then at night you'd have to open them all by hand in the dark. It took a long time, so for sake of ease and for sake of time. I harvest them from the middle fruiting zone, between the 5th and 10th fruiting branches. We preferred first position bowls to try and decrease the variability, but some of them, since we had to harvest them just as the bowls cracked open, if they were too far open, I couldn't take them, so I took some second position bowls, but I did run an analysis to see what percentage that was, and it was less than 0.1%.